Almighty everlasting God, we give thanks for this parish, for their love toward all the saints, for their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us, we pray, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, and that we may know what is the hope to which you have called us. Let us see and know the riches of Christ's glorious inheritance in the saints and the immeasurable greatness of his power working in and through us who believe. Through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. I have a prophetic word for you. A reminder that a prophetic word is a word of encouragement, counsel, comfort. Prophetic word is speaking truth. It's not necessarily foretelling, it's forthtelling the truth. And here it is. You are holy, set apart by God. By virtue of your baptism and your relationship with Jesus Christ, you are separate from the world. You are different. You are other than the world. That's the word. You are holy, set apart by God. Now, each one of us is consecrated for a specific ministry within the body. And that's God's choice. And God has chosen you. And God is purifying you, and God is making you ready for the calling he has placed on your life, and he will equip you with every spiritual gift in the heavenly places to do the work he has called you to do. You are set apart. You're different. Let me give you an example. Father David, would you bring that water, that cruet over here? Now, the water that is in this cruet, stand by, I'll give it back, I promise. The water that is in this cruet came right out of the tap in the sacristy. It's the same water that's going to be used to wash dishes, to do whatever, clean the sink. This water is the same water that was there. But in a few minutes, Father Chris is going to bless this water and consecrate it, and it will be holy. And then it could be used for nothing except for the holy vessels on the altar. A small portion of it will be put into the wine as he's consecrating the wine, and the rest will be used for cleansing. And anything that's left over, it's not poured down the sewer, it's poured in the piscina so that it will run directly and be on the ground, that it will never be used, never be corrupted in any other way. It's holy. Thank you, Father. You are the same. You have been, you're just like everybody else in the world, but you have been set apart. You are holy. You are specially consecrated to do the work that God has called you to do. You are wholly set apart by God. Now, in this passage in Ephesians that we read, that Kat read this morning, Paul is making a very clear distinction between what is holy and what is worldly, okay? So in verse 15, for example, he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, not as worldly wise, but as godly wise, okay? And therefore, do not be foolish like the world is foolish, but understand the will of God. That means being in deep personal relationship with Him. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. I had to think, why did he choose wine? I mean, whiskey will do a perfectly good job of it. Yeah, or beer, or whatever. But anyway, so do not get drunk with any of those alcoholic beverages of your choice. There you go. How's that?
Or a bunch of weed.
What's that?
Or a bunch of weed.
Yeah. But understand, I'm sorry, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And actually, that's written in the Greek in a passive voice. Okay, so it's allow yourself to be filled by God with the Spirit of the Lord. That's what he's actually saying, all right? It's not your effort, it's the effort of God to change and transform you. And then it says, you know, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, I'm going to examine that in just a minute. I'll come back to that, I promise. What does that actually mean? And always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In everything. At all times and in all places, as we say in the Hebrews, giving thanks. I have a challenge for you. How many of you have given thanks for the presidency of Joe Biden? How many of you have given thanks for Donald Trump running for president? How many of you have been giving thanks for COVID? You know, think about it. At all times and in all places and in all things, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reason for all this. We don't understand it. We're simple-minded folks. I'm a bearer of very little brains. Okay? But God has it all in his hands. So being drunk in the spirit, as opposed to being drunk in the flesh, worldly drunks say really stupid things. They really do. If you've spent any time in a bar, you know that there's some really stupid things that are said there. I did go to college, so I do know a little bit about that.
But it seemed profound at the time.
I could tell stories, but that's for another day, okay? Anyway, but... Oh, I'm so sorry. Did I say something wrong?
She's looking forward to college.
She's looking forward to college. That's it.
That's how it ends sometimes.
All right. But worldly drunks do say stupid things. But spiritual drunks, those who are drunk in the spirit, as it were, speak the word. They speak words that are of the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs of the church. They speak the truth forward as they speak and build up the body and encourage the faithful and give comfort to those who are suffering. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me give you another wording of that, okay? You are to be filled with the Spirit that you may be encouraging one another by quoting the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, always giving thanks at all times.
That's what we are called as those who have been made holy by God to do. We are called together in love with hearts that are filled with an attitude of gratitude to God. You are holy, and your words should be different from the words of the world. The pattern today, unfortunately, in every aspect of the society that I can see, is that there is a pattern of condemnatory, judgmental, cursing language. It's out there, and it permeates everything. Why do you think there's so much road rage? We are filled with anger and vitriol and vengeance, and that's worldly. That is not the word of those who are drunk in the Spirit. But God our Father, He created everything that there is. And how did He bring all of these things into existence? He brought all of creation into existence by His word. He spoke, and it came to be. Think about that. And God said, let there be light. And God said, let the earth bring forth the plants. And God said, let the earth bring forth all manner of life. And God said, let us make man in our own image. God speaks and brings into existence. We, the ones who are called to this life of holiness, set apartness, are procreators. Our words have power to bring into existence the things we speak. Think about that. Why do you think all of the child psychologists are so negative on speaking negative things to children? Oh, you'll never amount to anything. You have just prophesied over that child. In our home, for many years when Christopher was still around, actually occasionally we still do it today, turn to one or the other of us and we'll say, you're doing a great job. Oh, really? What am I doing? It doesn't matter, but you're doing a great job. You know what, Rachel? You're doing a great job holding that chair down. I love it. It was fabulous. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Bless and do not curse. And Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Why? Because you are holy. You have been called to be separate from the world. You are different. You are other. I copied this. Next thing I'm going to tell you. I copied this into this file for this sermon, but I forgot to put the citation where it came from. So please forgive me. I don't remember. But it is really cool. And I think it really says something important. So to the unknown author of this, kudos, okay? The key to life-giving conversations, I can't talk. The key to life-giving conversations is to determine that you personally will talk in a loving, godly manner, regardless of how other people talk. The way you talk is usually more important than whether you are right or wrong, whether others listen to you or whether you get your way. Hmm. The key to life-giving conversations is to determine that you personally will talk in a loving, godly manner, regardless of how other people talk. The way you talk is usually more important than whether you are right or wrong, whether others listen to you or whether you get your way. That's the same message that Paul gave to the church at Colossae. In chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone." Let your speech always be gracious, always be gracious. And he spoke to young Titus, saying, "Speak evil of no one. Speak evil of no one. Avoid quarreling. Be gentle and show perfect courtesy toward all men." Oh, what a difference the world would be if we who are called by God to be holy lived and worked and functioned in that kind of mindset. The transformation of this society would be unstoppable. When we are filled with the Spirit, we can address one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And when we are drunk in the Spirit, then we can talk abundantly about Jesus and live lives filled with the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, often these things come unbidden to our minds. You may be talking to somebody. It may be kind of an unhealthy environment where you find yourself. You may need to leave, but also you may be attentive to the Spirit that gives you the unbidden word of a psalm or a hymn or a prophecy that you can speak quietly, gently, compassionately into that moment. God will give you the words at the times you need them. Otherwise, it's best to keep your mouth shut. It is not our place to speak against the worldly things around us. It's not our place to speak into the life of someone who is steeped in worldliness. That's not our job. As a matter of fact, when we live in Christ according to the Spirit of God, Jesus will have the way. Now think about this too. Jesus did not speak against worldliness when he encountered it. Think about it. When he ran into the woman who was caught in adultery, or should I say someone dragged the woman caught in adultery before him, he did not speak about worldliness. He did not condemn her. He forgave her. The rich young ruler, completely caught up in the fineries of the earthly life, the worldly life, he didn't condemn him. He just invited him to come. Jesus didn't speak against worldliness. He did not condemn those who were caught in worldliness. But he did condemn those who were spiritual leaders who refused to walk in the way of the Lord. He went and spoke against the holy one, who were living worldly lives. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Woe to you, doctors of the law, who live not according to the law. Woe to you, you spiritual leaders of Jerusalem. That's what he said. I don't want to hear that. I hope you don't either. You are holy. You have been made holy by God and made separate according to His purpose. You are the holy ones. Let the Lord fill you with His Spirit, that you may be drunk in the Spirit and live according to His word, speaking truth lovingly to all you meet. Amen.